Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You got your Bibles? You got your notebooks? All right, be seated. The Spirit of God just spoke something to me. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. How many of you want to walk in increase? I want us to understand something about the value system, because that primarily is what mammon skews. That's the issue. See, he, in the very beginning, when you're dealing with covering and you're dealing with shame and him getting placed to fear, all of those things that we see in the garden about Satan's tactics are he wanted to get them into a place of broken covering so they didn't have access to the supply of Zoe. Because when you think about it, when Adam, of course, and Eve both ate of that fruit, several things changed. But to boil it down and really make it simple for us to understand, what happened to man is what had happened to Lucifer when he got kicked out of heaven. I mean, when you can put them on the same term. So what then did Satan lose access to when the covering got broken? He lost access to revelation. He lost access to the economia of God. He lost access to the covering, which is the anointing and operation, and supernatural help. Now, did man not lose access to all of that? Yes. Covering lifted. Now, he sees himself differently. So he's moved by fear instead of faith, and he's not in his place because he doesn't see himself worthy to walk in his place beside God. So God comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day, says, Adam, where are you? I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. First thing God said was, who told you you were naked? Hear me now. Did you eat? Now this is huge, because most people don't realize from the very beginning of time, God introduces to us that what we eat has everything to do with how we see ourselves. Now understand this, and here's what I'm trying to communicate to you. Entertaining voices other than God's voice, or other than God's pure voice, will skew the way you see yourself and the way you see the world. Now, this is the direction I want to go, because I want to deal with voices today under the instruction of the Spirit of God, all right? But the Bible says that the voice, he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So, God walks in the earth and in your life by his voice. Go back to the book of Genesis and you'll see they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. A lot of people, you remember in the New Testament where he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. How's God going to walk in you? Through his voice. If you can't hear his voice, you're not going to walk with God. Right? Because how can any two walk together except they be agreed? And there's a whole large vast majority of the body of Christ that doesn't even believe God speaks today, much less that you could hear his voice consistently. So God is saying, I'm not interested as much in what you saw and the experience you had as I am in, did you hear what I said? So many people miss the voice of God or the will of God or the word of God in the midst of the move of the Spirit of God. And what we need to understand is there's only one reason for the move of his Spirit. Hear me now. Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the darkness of the deep. Nothing happened until God said, let there be light. So realize the Spirit of God can be present, but without the elements, hearing the word, nothing changes. The word of heaven is what the Spirit of God moves upon to change your natural situation. So without the voice of God being uttered and the voice of God being heard and the voice of God being spoken, Spirit of God can be in operation all day long, but you're not going to have anything that brings order or creation or lasting change. The Word of God is what holds it together. Now, that being said, is the voice of God is the Word of God. I want to make that clear. In the book of Hebrews, once again, you're disciples, so you're taking notes. I'm assuming you'll go back. And if you want to study this out, get the scripture references. Because I'm really headed towards something very specific that the Holy Spirit, under the prophetic edge now, is saying to this body of believers under our sphere of responsibility and to our partners. In the book of Hebrews, it says in Hebrews chapter 4 about the fact that many people stopped short. And it describes why they stopped short. Because the same word preached unto them was preached unto us. Right? But it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. So why did they stop short? When they heard the word, they didn't hear it with the intention of believing and acting on it. See, the word can only implement change as we believe and act upon the word. And we'll never believe and act upon the word unless we're absolutely sure it's the right word and it is the voice of God. If it's one voice among many voices, you're never going to get to the place where you'll act on it. So this is where we're headed now. So he's telling us then in Hebrews 4 that the word being preached. So say the word.
The word.
Now say the word preached.
The word.
Now say they heard.
They heard.
The word,
the word.
Preached.
Preached.
Now that's very important because as he comes down, he says today, after so long a time, if you will hearken unto his voice, harden not your hearts. And then the scripture refers to how it was said. Everybody say it was said.
It was said.
Now you need to understand that this word you hold in your lap was at some point said before it was written. So what we have is a collection of written down prophecies. And we call them, and rightly so, because the scripture calls them this, promises. You might want to write in your notes, a written down prophecy is or becomes a promise. Why? Because no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. So that means what was prophesied to one generation is a promise to another generation. If they'll just believe that the voice of God is right and real and it's His will and act on it the same, they'll get the same thing in their generation as the generation it was originally spoken to. Now we know that for several reasons. Number one, we know that Joshua took what was spoken to Moses in written form, acted on it, and it became God's spoken word to Joshua through written page. The spoken word to another man became God saying, if you'll obey what I commanded Moses to write down, I'll be with you as I was with Moses. Now we see this through the Word of God again and again, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. What I'm trying to communicate is that in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, today, after so long a time, if you will don't harden your hearts, but hear His voice, there remaineth yet a rest for the people of God. So he speaks about the rest and laboring to enter into that rest to a group of people based upon a written word that was written hundreds of years before they were born. And he's saying, this still remains out there for you. And he calls, yes, sir, I'll slow down long enough to show you this. I just don't want to get off my subject matter in Mark 4, but let's go to the book of Hebrews. I want to show this to you because this will really help you. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, this isn't the only place that we can document this from the Word of God, but it's a very obvious place, and so it'll help you in your study. Verse 3 of Hebrews 4, for we which believe, or have believed, do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, for he spake. He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So the Lord spoke, and he spoke in more than one place. You see this? You see this? The Lord spoke, he spoke this promise, and he spoke it in more than one place. Verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in. So whatever God spoke in the past still remains today. There's a reason he spoke it and had it written so that we could see it remains for us. Praise the Lord. That he spoke it no less to us than he did them. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, so this is now the third time he says, a third different place where he says, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David. So we know now this is in the Psalms, written to David, long after God told Joshua they would go into the rest of Canaan. So God told Joshua they would go into the rest of Canaan. Do you see that? Now he's referring that God said it hundreds of years later to David, there's a rest for you to enter into. And it's the same rest they could have had when they went into Canaan. And then he says very clearly here, there remains a rest for you. So now however many hundreds of years it is past David to the people he's writing to. The same rest belongs to the people he's writing to in Hebrews that belonged to Joshua and his group. The same rest, right, that he's writing to in the book of Hebrews belongs to them that belong to David and his group. Now, I'm not going to take a long tangent to deal with this subject matter, but this particular thought is something I want to get lodged down deep in your spirit. The guy writing this, I happen to believe is none other, I've got some scriptural basis for that, but I won't get into it, but none other than the Apostle Paul. Now, here's the guy, follow me now, here's the guy that was caught up into the third heaven, and he's the man that was given the dispensation of grace to the Gentile world. Let's just kind of get some things in order here. So this is the man. Any revelation of grace we have today came from this man that's writing this. Now, you cannot ignore that this man is going into the Old Testament to tell a New Testament group of people there's a promise that still remains for them from the Old Testament. Now, this is going to settle some issues for a lot of people who are going to begin to believe the lie of voices that take the things outside the Bible to try to prove a point and tell them the Old Testament's done away. The law's done away, not according to Paul. Because Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. How much?
All
of it's given by what?
Inspiration
of God. He says, and it's profitable, and he lists what it's profitable for. Reproof, correction, right? But one of the key things is doctrine. Everybody say doctrine.
Doctrine.
So New Testament doctrine can clearly be supported by Old Testament Scripture. And we'll prove that out a little bit more here. Because if it's not, then out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, see, it's different fruit than the root. Seed can only reproduce after its own kind. So even though there's a New Testament, you get all of the good of the old without the works and the curse. Thank God. But none of it was done away. So all the Scripture is profitable for doctrine, that the man of God may be what? Thoroughly furnished. That means you're not going to be thoroughly furnished as a man of God without all the Scripture. Unless we just get into this, you know, we make fun of people that say, I only read the King James Bible. I mean, that's the Bible Paul used. And unless we show our ignorance like that, we make fun of those people that don't even know that the King James Bible is only 400 years old. Well, what about the people that say the Old Testament's done away? Can't they read? The very guy that wrote to us by the revelation that gave us the gospel of grace says all Scripture. And there was no New Testament.
That's right.
He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. What we have is the New Testament he didn't have. It was not considered Scripture. So when Paul's writing to Timothy and he's saying all Scripture, there's only one aspect of Scripture he could be referring to. Genesis to Malachi. There was no New Testament. So understand that Paul clearly says the Old Testament Scriptures is given by the inspiration of the Spirit of God that the New Testament man of God could be thoroughly furnished. So clearly hear what I'm saying to you. All of the Bible is the Word of God. All of it. You don't, to become a word person, you can't be a favorite word person. Now, the reason I'm saying that is he says then there's still a New Testament promise or an Old Testament promise that belongs to a New Testament people. And notice what he says in verse 7. And again, this is, Hebrews 4, 7. And again, so this is the third time now he says this is recorded. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Now remember, Paul, if Paul was writing this, and I believe he was, Paul, this wasn't scripture when he was writing. It's scripture to us. So now this is the fourth time. He refers three times to the Old Testament. And here's what he says. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David. So when David wrote this or prophesied this, how many of you believe King David was a prophet? He says, God was saying. Read that. See what he said here? For God spoke. Verse 4, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest of the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, verse 6, and seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered in because of not of unbelief, entered not in, excuse me, because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David. So who's talking? God is. He's talking through a man. He first says it, then it's written, and it's written for our sake. Saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will, what? Everybody say, hear his what? Hear whose voice? Hear his voice. His word is his voice. That's what I'm trying to point out to you. He'll never speak outside of this book. In fact, he'll use it. He'll use this. This is the implement he uses primarily to lead, guide, and direct. And then when you hear in your spirit, downloads from his spirit, it's easy to judge what spirit's doing the talking, because his voice is separated out from every other voice. So the word of God's his voice. And this is very important. All right, go back with me on the way back to Mark 4. Go back with me to the book of Romans. And I want you to look at what it says in verse 16. He says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only to that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee, as it is written. Underline that phrase. See that phrase? As it is written. Say, it is written. That's verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that. What's the next phrase? Everybody say, which was spoken. Now underline that phrase. Say, it is written, which was spoken. So it was first spoken. Then it was written. Do you see that? First spoken. Then it was written. Now drop down to verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. Glory be to God. But what does verse 24 say? For who? Everybody say us. All right. Now go with me. So, last I checked, Abraham was in the Old Testament. So, I mean, there's some things written there based on Abraham all those hundreds of years ago in the Old Testament to teach us how to walk by faith so that it can be by grace. Yes. Well, there's grace right there in the Old Testament. Glory to God. All right, go over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, I wouldn't that you would be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And notice what it says. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples. In verse 11, let's just skip all the negative things they did and drop down to verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Now, all these references we've been talking about are all Old Testament information that's written that we might walk in the fullness of what belongs to us in Christ today. Now, go back with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Now, let me, before you go into Mark 4, let me refer now, let me talk about this a little bit more, about this whole mammon deal, because I didn't get where I was going with that. Once I got over into that series and I began to see some things about that spirit that drives that system, one of the things I began to see in Matthew chapter 6 is he talks about a value system. Because he says, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. And then he goes on to tell us Solomon in all his glory. Now that's wealth. Richest man that ever lived was not arrayed. The word arrayed means clothed. Are you with me? That's why he says the lilies of the field don't toil, neither do they spin. He uses the word spin for a reason. Because in those days, clothes were spun. Which is why he uses the term Solomon was not arrayed, his clothing, because they spun their clothes and created a covering. Do you see this? So lilies don't spin, but yet they're clothed. So they don't make their own clothing. They don't make their own covering. And as glorious as Solomon's covering was, it wasn't even remotely close to the value of the covering that comes on you when you walk by faith. And he's talking about a value system. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And he's trying to help us understand that the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things that come in choke the word. He's trying to help us get our value system correct so that we'll hold to the right thing. Because faith, the Bible says, is much more precious than gold, which perishes. Faith is more precious than all of Solomon's wealth combined. Faith is the only thing that has eternal value. As rich as Solomon was, there wasn't one thing except what he accomplished in the will of God that went with him or went to heaven. It didn't matter how rich he was. Question is, what followed him into the afterlife? Because that's what's valuable. Are you with me now? This is very important because we're going to live in a day where great increase is coming. But great increase is going to destroy people that cannot hear the voice of God. Because the valuable thing is not the money. I found this out in Haggai chapter 2. In fact, let me show you this. Remember, we're talking about his voice. Now, I know I've got you in Mark 4, but I believe this is our last stop before we can get there. Because when I read something to you, it's important I lay the foundation. Because when I read a verse to you out of Mark 4, you're going to be so familiar with it, you're immediately going to want to go in a direction. You see, there's some revelation in there that we haven't seen. And I needed to get this in you before I read that scripture, or you just take it the way you think that scripture means, because it's so familiar. All right? So I want you to go with me back to Haggai chapter 2. Holy Ghost, I just want you to know I thank you for your help today. I can sense your presence, and I appreciate you teaching the people. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, notice what it says here. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. There's a glory storm coming. Glory to God. I will fill this house with glory. Now notice what he says here. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, isn't it interesting that he has a glory gold connection? But notice what's going to produce the glory is a shaking. Now, I want to make sure that you get hold of this. Because if you can see it in your Bible, you'll begin to establish where we need to go and what the Holy Spirit's trying to say to us in this hour. Back up to verse 5. Notice what he says in verse 5. Before he starts this discourse, notice what he says. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. Now notice very clearly here, he is saying to us hundreds of years later, whatever word he spoke back hundreds of years before to those people, the same spirit that was on that word was with that people right then, hundreds of years later, to bring to pass that same word. And now we're connecting the covenanted word with the shaking of everything that can be shaken. Do you see this? All right, now, to shore this up and make sure you get clear God's value system, I'm going to give you one verse that goes along with this, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 12. But I want you to keep your finger in Haggai 2 and go with me to Hebrews 12. Glory be to God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, you haven't been come to a mountain like those Old Testament people did to see the terrible sights, the shaking, the earthquake. And he says in verse 22, but you are come to Mount Sion and unto the city of the living God, unto the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. You have come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, and to God. Actually, the firstborn which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men come to maturity or made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel. Now notice the word speaks and written. Notice verse 23, general assembly, church of the firstborn, which are written. Notice verse 24, the blood speaks. See, we're still on the same subject matter that we were earlier in our message. Then he goes on to say, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? It did what? His what shook? His voice. Say, his voice. Shook. Say, his voice. So what shook it? His voice shook the earth. But now he hath promised. What? Now if you read that, it sounds like he's talking right then. His voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised. What? Everybody say now. Say it again.
Now.
Say it one more time.
Now
he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. Where do you think he's getting this promise from? Can somebody say Haggai chapter 2? Thank you very much. Paul is quoting Haggai 2 as a now voice of God for the New Testament church. So the prophet speaking it under the influence of the Spirit of God, Paul took that written down prophecy as a now word from the Old Testament scripture for the New Testament church. And he said he's going to shake. Ooh, glory to God. He's going to shake. Ooh, glory to God. I shake. Not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Grace is going to shake some things up, all right. But it's because we got to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Because our God's a consuming fire. Because when real grace manifests, it's going to burn up some stuff that's not from God. Because it will contain a glory and a consuming, overwhelming destruction of the enemy and releasing of all of God's glory, power, miracles, and finances. And he gives us, do you see this? And he gives us then in Haggai and in the book of Hebrews, he gives us a step-down value system is the way he sees it. And he's saying to us, the least valuable thing you have, the gold that this shakes out. The gold is produced by the glory. Are you hearing me? And the glory is produced by the voice. The most valuable thing in the kingdom is not money, and it's actually not even the experience of experiencing the glory. That's the fruit. The most valuable thing in the kingdom is the voice of God that produces it. Because the glory and the gold comes out of hearing His voice. And that is big. I said, that is big. God told Brother Hagin, I would encourage every single one of you to go back. I don't care if you've read it half a dozen times or if you've never read it, you sure need to do it. Every single one of you need to go back and get Dad Hagin's book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God, and read it again. In fact, I would say as a believer, you ought to read that book at least once a year. God spoke to him in his ministry some many, many decades ago now in the office of prophet. The most important thing you can do for my people in these last days is teach them how to hear my voice. You're not going to navigate these times if you don't know how to hear the voice of God. Now, I need you to understand that it is His voice that created all physical matter. So there is no such thing as a supernatural, eternal, sustained increase without hearing the voice of God. Because what's born of God overcomes the world. If it's not born of His Spirit, rust will corrode it, moths will eat it, thieves will steal it. If it's not abiding in the vine, the branches will be cut off, men will gather them and put them in the fire. Need to understand the valuable thing, the thing that's incorruptible, the thing that cannot be changed, is the Word of God, which is only called the Word of God because it came out of His mouth. So His Word is His voice. And His people desperately need to know how to hear His voice. Now, in the last days, more than ever. Because it's the key to the covering and it's the key to increase. I said it's the key to increase. There's a reason you and I need to eliminate every trace of any fear in our life. It is because it is the enemy of hearing the voice of God, which is why fear roots out increase. Fear doesn't root out increase because it has the power to kill your increase. Fear roots out increase because it keeps you from hearing the voice. Do you hear me? So you see what happened to Adam and Eve the moment fear came in. It torqued the way they saw things. It torqued the way they saw the world. It changed the way they responded to the voice of God. That's the thing. See, here's the deal. It's not even that you don't hear His voice. It's that you do hear it and know it's Him and respond incorrectly. That's exactly what happened to Adam. Once that fear gets in there, you can hear his voice, but you won't respond correctly. Because it's the filter, it's the contaminant in the system that keeps you from taking your place, walking out what God has for you, so that you can stay in the garden, in the covering, where everything supernatural is provided, and there's a flow of increase that you can't cut off. Glory be to God. Whoo, glory be to God. Whew, glory be to God. Now go with me to Mark 4, because I believe we got the foundation laid for me to read this, and you won't immediately take it and jerk the wheel to the left or the right because that's what you think it means, because it does mean what you think it means. Are you hearing me? It does mean what you think it means, but it means so much more that you have never even seen. Mark chapter 4, and I want to read this verse. Actually, verse 24 is the verse we're going to focus on. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet. That means, actually, let's read the Amplified. I can read King James out of here. Bring the Amplified up. Take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet, it refers to anything you're hearing. Whatever you're hearing is it. It will be measured to you in the King James. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Now this law is very close to the spiritual law that says seek and you shall find. Because whatever your system is made so that whatever you're hearing the most of, you'll begin to see more and more how that system works. And I need you to hear what I'm saying to you. So if you have any other options other than spiritual law or the kingdom's way of doing it, this is how, what we're reading here, and I need you, if you've ever heard me say anything, I need you to hear me say this right here. This is the primary avenue through which Satan steals the word that's sown in your heart. Because it's not that you don't hear the word, it's that you hear it and you hear other voices. And now you've got something going on. Because whichever one you give your attention to is going to start growing in you. The biggest mistake most people make, and today is going, the last days is going to be the greatest challenge the body of Christ has ever experienced with this. Letting too many different voices into your life. Because what they do is they vie for a piece of your spirit. They begin to challenge you for a piece of your cognizant reality. Now this is, you often wondered how people can be just, have you ever wondered how people can just be in a place and hear from God and have a relationship and maybe be there for decades and attribute, this was the most amazing thing, attribute everything that they've ever walked through in victory in life to that relationship and that voice and that ministry. And then one little thing happens somewhere along the way where familiarity creeps in or offense creeps in or something like that. And so they begin to question about, you know, kind of everything they're hearing. And then when that gets in, then they start opening their ear to other voices and watch their lives. One diminishes, one voice diminishes, the other voice grows. Now, that's not wrong if it's the Holy Ghost. But it's wrong if it's not. Because we're not talking about turning and following the devil. We're talking about what happened to Paul in the churches he birthed. Other teachers came through the Corinthian church till finally he had to write to them and said, look, what has happened to you guys? You don't respond to me the way you did when I came in here and birthed you in the Spirit. But now you got a lot of these other voices coming in here, and they've made your heart small toward my voice. My voice was the portal of entrance that got you into these things. So you see, what they gave attention to began to grow. What they didn't give attention to began to diminish. And so it changed the way they responded to the Apostle Paul, and their heart began to close off to him. Are you hearing me? The Bible tells us very clearly, particularly in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, And I want to say it's verse 25, where it says, the spirit of Antichrist in the last days is going to speak great and blasphemous words against the Most High and seek to wear out the saints. It's because he knows how this system works. So the airwaves, and I'm not just talking about satanic, although a lot of that's coming, with reports and newscasts and satellite. See, you can stay, you can sit in church and I can mention something and you can Google it and know more about it by the latest Twitter feed than I can while I'm preaching. We live in a day that if you don't understand these principles, you're going to find yourself going the way of the many voices of society for your source of information about a situation. And what's dangerous about that is you will lose the ability to step back from that source of information to hear what the Spirit of God has to say about it. And you'll be like everybody else in the building at 9/11 when the fireman said, just stay put, stay where you are. Instead of the people that heard, I just don't think that's right. We can't stay here. We got to get out of here. Holy Ghost saying, get out. Good Christians died in that place that God spoke to, but they trusted the voice of the fireman and the voice of the authorities more than the voice of the Holy Ghost. Wasn't it God willed some to die and some to live? You don't want to get to that place in life where the voice of fear and the other voices are so vying for your attention that they muddy the water and you can't hear the voice of God. Because what he's saying to us is, if you'll obey my voice, I'll navigate you through these times. They will not affect you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. But we're going to have to be fear-free, filled with faith, and know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, and get rid of all that mess that's convoluting our filter system where we can't hear from the Spirit of God and what he's trying to communicate to us. Do you want to know why God doesn't show us more of what's to come? Because so many of us would move in fear, he can't show it to us. A lot of people say, where are the prophets? Why aren't they saying something? Because the body of Christ can't hear it. There's information right now out of his mercy he's keeping from you. Not because you shouldn't know it. You actually should know it and participate with him by covenant authority in prayer to stop it. But if you're not going to do that and you're going to move by fear, he ain't going to tell you because he loves you too much. So we know less and less because we're not sanctified from the care of this world system. Let me just tell you, part of not serving mammon doesn't have anything to do with money release. That will come. It's impossible to hear and obey God's voice and not increase. His voice is the source of all physical matter. What we've got to do is get back over here and follow the inward witness. You know, God told Brother Hagin years ago, he said, if you'll just obey me. He said, meditate my word, spend time with me. And I'm paraphrasing that. But basically he said, if you'll just do what I tell you to do, follow my voice. He said, I'll make you rich. And because so many people try to do what he did all the time because, you know, they just saw it worked. He didn't tell people what he did privately. If the Lord would tell him to invest in this, if the Lord would tell him to do that, he would never let anybody know. Why? Because it wasn't for them to know. Because he got that by the Spirit of God for his life. He wasn't an investment banker. He was a prophet of God. But God made him rich. I can look back and see God's been trying to get... Listen, I saw something the other day. About a month ago now, I was in a service and he pointed out some things to me. And he said this to me and it just, when I saw it, I just went like that. I said, dear God, I see that now. He said, I have been trying to get this to you for 15 years. I said, what? And as soon as he said it, I saw it. Brother Scott, I saw it. This is why I know last Saturday when he woke me up and said, the restoration of all things is at hand. That we are about to have an absolute glory storm of the years that the cankerworm, the pommel worm, the locust, and the caterpillar have eaten coming back to us. And he's going to put us back where we would have been had we not missed that instruction. Amen. Have we not made that mistake? Yes. Oh, glory be to God. He's going to teach us how to redeem the time for the days are evil. Because I believe that there are some people he's trained up after all these years that because of the imminence of the hour and the soon return of Jesus, he doesn't have time to train another. So you better get with the program. Because lots of you are going to be around for a while. Because he can't afford to let you come to heaven. Do you hear me? Time is of the essence. We are redeeming the time. Glory be to God. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for increase. Supernatural prosperity coming on your disciples. Thank you for helping us get the will of God done on this planet. Thank you that the best is yet to come. Thank you, Father. Thank you that today you've already begun to undercut ungodly, unholy, false voices. I thank you, Father, that the legs are cut out from under doctrines of demons, that they will never prosper here, that the word will prevail, that it will grow mightily, that no one will go about deceiving and or being deceived. Oh, no, we arrest that spirit in our midst. We are the place where you're going to reign on the territory. And when there's famine in the earth and in the cities around, they'll wander here to drink water and get their lives saved. Yes. Father, I know it. There's stability in the voice of God because we have a kingdom which cannot be moved. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I believe. Say it. I believe.
By faith
that I actually have the grace to hear the voice of God and not be deceived. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you love the Lord today? Woo! Glory be to God.